Well, today is our Reader's Theater, and I want to give you a little background on that. As you're probably aware, the Reader's Theaters I've been doing each summer are, at this point, of historical character. They trace historical incidents in UU history, so this is another one. And it's entitled The Philippines and the Unitarians. And a little background to this. In 1902, following Spain's defeat of the Spanish-American War of 1898, a group of Filipino former Catholic clergy and laypeople formed the Philippine Independent Church in order to break away from the dominant Roman Catholic Church, which had controlled the religious life of the Philippines since the 1600s. After a few years, some of the leaders in this new church decided to explore affiliation with the American Unitarian Association, and that was the name of UU organization at that time. And after various negotiations, this effort collapsed, and the Filipinos decided not to affiliate with the Unitarians, but to maintain their identity as a native independent church. And this play describes some of that in a fictional way. Our play represents a dramatization of this episode, fictional, as I say, and it also, in its dialogue, reflects the attitudes of the time. So you'll hear some pretty paternalistic language from the speakers, and that's the way people talked about it at that time. I did some research, some of the words used are the actual words used by the participants. All of the participants in this theater are actual people, even though the incident portrayed is fictional. It should be mentioned also that in many years after this incident, when the Unitarians backed off from this church, a native Filipino UU movement did spring up. They came to this realization on their own that they needed a UU church. This was in the mid-1960s. And it continues to this day to be a lively presence in the spiritual life of the Philippines. So UUism is now big in the Philippines, but in our play you'll see that it didn't succeed in allying with the Filipinos at that time. I'll introduce each character now. Our first is Samuel A. Elliott. He was the president of the American Unitarian Association at that time, and he'll be played by Dick Albert. Next is Theodore Roosevelt, a former U.S. president. played by Glenn Jacob. Then it's Lewis Craig Cornish, who was the AUA secretary at large at that time, assistant to Mr. Elliott, played by Bilda Smith. Next is Ida Tarbell, who was a crusading journalist and social reformer, played by Joe Murdoch. Jane Addams, a settlement worker, very famous settlement worker, well-known to UUs today, and also a well-known social reformer played by Mary Lasick. And last is Gregorio Aglipay, Supreme Bishop, Philippine Independent Church, played by Stuart Fink. And Bishop Aglipay's portrait is on the front of your program here, so you might note that. And the setup for this play is the following. Our play takes place in Samuel Elliott's hotel room in downtown Chicago in August 1912. The Progressive Party is holding its first national convention in the hotel. This social justice party, now defunct, was active in this country in the early part of the last century. In 1912, it is at its peak in the U.S. and has just nominated Theodore Roosevelt, a former U.S. president, to be its candidate for president in the 1912 national election. Roosevelt has just gone to Elliott's room to savor his victory with his friend. Let the play begin.
Thank you for coming to visit me, Mr. President. I was impressed with your acceptance speech. The audience response to your words was overwhelming. How wonderful that you are once again a candidate for the presidency. This time on the Progressive Party ticket.
Yes, yes, it's wonderful. And in this sweltering heat, I was amazed the audience didn't faint. But what brings you to Chicago? I was pleased to see your name on the guest list.
Oh, I have always counted myself as a progressive, and now that our progressive cause is sweeping the nation, I wanted to be here to catch the excitement and be thrilled by the speakers. I especially wanted to hear you. I was glad to see, Mr. President, that you could say what is dearest to your heart.
Well, that was because I'm not yet in office. But I'm afraid you do me too much honor, my friend. Wait a moment. It seems like we have some other visitors coming.
Excuse me, Mr. Elliott, Mr. President. I'm sorry to intrude this way, but I have some important news and a most important guest to introduce to you. I think you both will be interested in what he has to say.
Will Mr. Cornish be so kind as to introduce your guest?
I have the honor of introducing His Grace, the Supreme Bishop of the Philippine Independent Church, Bishop Gregorio Aglipay.
We are deeply honored, Bishop Aglipay. May we ask you about the purpose of your visit today?
Well, I am somewhat in a whirl about being here myself. You see, originally, I came to this convention to find out more about this progressive movement of yours that is sweeping your country. Since I have always counted myself as a progressive, I want to see if I can pick up some ideas about how to change attitudes in my own country. But I am here in this room now with a different mission. A short time ago, I was chatting with Mr. Cornish, who I only just met today, and he inquired about our new church, which we formed a few years ago, after breaking away from the Roman Catholic Church, which has dominated our islands for many centuries. Mr. Cornish expressed great interest in our efforts and said your Unitarian group might be wanting to help us by affiliating with us. At present, we have about 5,000 members and are still growing. As I understand your beliefs, I am practically a Unitarian myself. So I felt I would like to discuss this idea of affiliation further with you.
Elliot, this is a golden opportunity for you. You must take advantage of this at once. I have always been in favor of advancing the civilization of our little brown brothers in the Philippines, who sagged under the cruel yoke of Spanish and Catholic dominion for so long. This would be an excellent chance to further advance the cause of democracy and liberty in these oppressed lands. These are the very goals to which your denomination is dedicated to, after all.
Well, yes. I agree this is a worthy cause to which we should give our fullest attention, but...
But what? Why are you dithering? You should grasp hold of this chance with both hands, man.
Mr. President, I heartily agree with you, but perhaps we should allow Mr. Elliott more time on how to proceed.
Of course, there is no hurry. I will be here for the next few days.
Thank you, Bishop. I appreciate your situation, but you see, I believe the American Unitarian Association should now be run in a sound, businesslike manner. We don't want to overextend ourselves and must be sure that each project we undertake is within our financial means. What you are proposing, Bishop Aglipay, is very intriguing, but the idea of expanding our current organization to promote foreign missions in a distant lands like the Philippines seems at this time
what
to
the,
be...
No, that's nonsense, Elliot. The good bishop is not asking for missions. He obviously presides over a well-organized church. They apparently have clergy, like priests and bishops, and a structured organization with many members. They are simply asking for a hand to assist themselves in their ongoing efforts to further civilize a benighted and downtrodden race begging for justice.
Well said, Mr. President, but perhaps you are over-dramatizing this situation.
No, not in the least, young man. Mr. Elliott just needs a little pushing in the right direction, that's all.
Excuse me for intruding. My name is Jane Addams. I am one of the delegates to the convention. I understand Bishop Aglipay is here. We would like to meet him, if possible.
Oh, why not? Everybody else is in here. You might as well come in. Did you say we?
Yes. My friend Ida Tarbell is with me.
Ida Tarbell? I can't stand that woman. She is a muckraker of the worst sort. She is the one who completely besmirched the character of John D. Rockefeller in her book about the Standard Oil Company.
Well, Rockefeller probably deserved it. Of course, Miss Addams, you and your friend are quite welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for allowing us to meet Bishop Aglipay, Mr. Elliott. What brings you to Chicago, Your Grace?
Well, I came to witness your magnificent Progressive Party convention. Quite impressive, I must say. And you now have a wonderful presidential candidate in Mr. Roosevelt. I wish him the best. At the moment, I am speaking with Mr. Elliott about possibly affiliating our new independent Filipino church with his American Unitarian Association.
I see, but why would you want to do that?
Well, it seems to me that friendly support from the American Association would greatly help our independent church gain further stature in the world, and in this way advance our cause for more liberal religion in the Philippines.
But at the cost of your independence? That's a very bad bargain.
Oh,
Bishop.
Hold it right there, Ida. I knew it. You're just here for another one of your tirades about the evils of the capitalist civilization.
But how could these charming Unitarians steal our independence, Miss Tarbell?
Well, they are charming, I agree. Until it comes to the subject of money. And then they become just another business. And I have written extensively on the avarice and greed of Americans and their giant corporations, let me tell you. Once you become caught in their tentacles, Bishop, they will suck you dry.
Please, Miss Tarbell, don't you think you're exaggerating a little bit here?
I'm not exaggerating in the least, Mr. Cornish. If you would read my books, you would understand. Of course, I know you like to cozy up to all your wealthy Boston donors, so it's possible you are unaware of such things or choose to ignore them.
Please, Ida, let us not be harsh. But I do need to say, gentlemen, that I share some of Ida's concerns. Our work with immigrants has shown us that people struggling to improve themselves do best if allowed and encouraged to stand on their own two feet. It is a struggle for them, but at the end, they always feel it was worth the battle.
Thank you, Miss Addams, Bishop Aglipay. So far, we have all done much of the talking. Surely you must have some questions you'd like to ask us.
I do. Mr. Elliott, can you tell me a bit about how your church is organized?
Well, yes. We remain firmly embedded in what I would describe as Unitarian Christianity. That is, we believe firmly in the teachings of Jesus, the equality of all believers under God, restraint and simplicity in our faith and worship, decentralized church organization, self-governing congregations, and continued outreach to the poor and unfortunate in our communities, whatever their faith or belief.
Do you have any kind of hierarchy in your church or any special liturgy? Do you worship any saints, for example?
Oh, no, no, we don't. I'm surprised you ask. Those things would smack of Romanism to our members, who continue to be staunch Protestants in their thinking. They would never tolerate any kind of worship that smacks of popery.
But, Mr. Elliott, many of our newly arrived immigrants are from Catholic countries, similar to the Philippines. They are people who are still very attached to the beliefs and rituals of their native faith. They find it hard at first to adjust to other religious services. Initially, they often find Protestant worship barren and sterile in comparison to their traditional ways.
That is true, Miss Adams. In fact, even in our new Filipino church, we have retained many rituals and ceremonies that to an outsider would seem quite Catholic in appearance. It makes our members feel more comfortable, as well as settled and accepted.
But, Bishop, it seems to me that this is all the more reason why you should combine this association programs with those of your new Filipino church. By doing so, we can help speed up the entry of your people into the modern world.
And I would like to second Mr. Roosevelt's statement, Bishop Aglipay. An affiliation of our association with your new church, which is struggling to free itself of all vestiges of past Spanish tyranny. It would greatly benefit you in so many ways. It is indeed a noble cause, and that is being presented to us all here today.
Thank you, Mr. Cornish. I believe my friend Elliot is beginning to awaken to his responsibilities. Am I right, Samuel?
Well, you make it all sound as if I'm opposed to this possible affiliation. Nothing could be further from the truth. Turn two pages. Truth. I just think we need to carefully consider all sides to this issue before we make a commitment. What could be more sensible than that? We need to carefully weigh our options, that's all.
Bishop, did you catch what he just said? Carefully weigh all his options, not your options. In other words, he and his associates are trying to figure out how best to carve up the turkey, and you are the turkey. What you are seeing is the way the giant corporations in our country do business. A leg for me, a part of the breast for you, maybe some dressing for someone else, etc., etc., etc. But you are not sitting at the table. No, you are sitting on the table.
Please, Miss Tarbell, I have some respect for Bishop Aglipay.
I do respect him. I'm just warning him. He needs to be cautious at this point, even among Unitarians. Sometimes it is the people who smile at you the most who also have their hands in your pockets.
I am beginning to understand your antipathy toward this woman.
Well, you invited her into the room.
What are you two mumbling about?
Bishop, we seem to have gone off the track here a bit. Perhaps you could specify what you most need from the American Unitarian Association at this point.
Let me summarize my thoughts. After hearing all that has been said here this morning, I strongly believe that the time is not right for us to combine forces at this point.
What? What? I'm sorry if we have offended you in any way. That is not certainly our intent. I apologize for Ms. Tardell's rudeness. I am sure you realize that our association would welcome you and your church and your members with open arms if you care to join us.
Watch out, Bishop. Stick to your guns.
Perhaps what the bishop is saying is that culturally, more work needs to be done in our individual religious communities before there can be any serious talk of any kind of merger or affiliation. Once this is accomplished, affiliation might be possible. I agree with Mr. Cornish that this could become a noble cause. I also know, Mr. President, you have always placed great emphasis on the duty of our Western civilization to, in your words, help shape the destiny of mankind.
And help itself to the crops, the military bases, and all the cheap labor it can get for itself.
Well, that too. But more importantly, I think it is our duty as a country to help other nations and their members to be able to help themselves without any dependency upon us. And that goes for religious communities like yours, Bishop, as well.
Yes. And I think that this is what you meant by saying it is important for our church to learn to survive by standing on our own feet. I find I agree with that sentiment now more than ever after speaking with all of you. So, Mr. Elliott and Mr. Cornish and the other eminent persons here, I found our discussion here most enlightening. And thank you for speaking with me. I appreciate your offers of support and will carry your words back with me to my church. So we part, if not as allies, then at least as friends. Goodbye.
Well, Elliot, I think you lost your chance. As I said, that was a golden opportunity.
I don't know. He may be back. We'll see. And besides, it may not have worked out at all.
I'm just glad he made a clean break of it. He's much better off sticking to the independent plan his own people developed. The Filipinos, you remember, fought for complete independence from our American clutches for years. But once they let us in the door, they still have not escaped from the grip of our glorious civilization, despite their best efforts.
Ida, I think our work here is done. And we best be getting back to the convention.
Yes, we should, but our work of liberation is not yet done, Jane. Seeing what I saw here this afternoon, I can tell our work is not completed and may never be completed. But it is at least a beginning. And with that, we both say
goodbye.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Turton.
Before I offer the blessing, I wanted to mention another historical note. The Philippine Independent Church did, in the end, get an affiliation, but it's with the Episcopalians, not the Unitarians. And that's still true today. They are affiliated with the Episcopal Church of America. One of the churches in this area, Episcopal churches, has a stained glass window devoted to Bishop Aglipay. I don't remember where I saw it, but it is a very nice window. And the blessing is, hold on to what is good, even if it is a handful of earth. Hold on to what you believe, even if it is a tree which stands by itself. Hold on to what you must do, even if it is a long way from here. Hold on to my hand, even when I have gone away from you.